Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us in this moment, we pray, that we would see Jesus. Fall upon us in this moment, we pray, that our faith would be lifted up and confirmed. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the DeLapp family owns a swath of land that moves up into the Bighorn Mountains. And the Bighorn Mountains, as a spur out of the Rockies, is filled with majestic vistas, beautiful scenery, angled canyons with sharp cliffs, deep forests, trickling springs, and swaths of rolling grass and lupin in the spring. Beautiful, beautiful scenes. And yet, the Bighorn Mountains can also be a little dangerous. A wild, rugged landscape that if you get lost in, especially in the forests, you could very well starve to death because there are miles and miles of timber. Even the best mountaineer gets turned around. I'll never forget years ago going fencing with my father, and we were working a fence line through some of the timber in those Bighorn Mountains, and we came to a park surrounded by the lodgepole pine. And there in that lush green park, there were little clumps of plants about 2 foot high, plants with a kind of white fur on them and spiky, spiny leaves jutting out with little purple blossoms at the top. My father grinned and motioned me, "Come here, come here." Took me over to one of the plants and pointed at it as he was rummaging in his pocket, pulling out his pocket knife, the one with the broken tip. "This," little bit of Native American tradition for you, "this is elk thistle, elk thistle." And with one foot bending over the plant with his broken pocket knife, he sawed off near the ground and then carefully, so as not to get his fingers poked on all the thistles of the thistle, he began to skin away all of the white fur and the sharp pointed leaves until nothing but a smooth little round tube remained. He handed it to me. "You can eat this. You could survive on this. If you ever got stuck up here, bad situation, got lost, you could survive on elk thistle." Something to eat in the rugged Bighorn Mountains. Now, in our epistle reading this morning, or I should say this evening, the Corinthian church is nothing if not a rugged mountain landscape. Beautiful, beautiful church in many ways, with scenic vistas, the angling canyons with sharp cliffs of prophecy, the dense forests of tongues, and the trickling springs of powerful sermons. Everything that you could want in beauty there, in all of its rugged and terrible presence. Terrible because this same church, for all of its beauty, could also be a place of sparse love and stormy emotions. A place where one could get lost and find oneself's faith starving to death. The rich are starting services early so that they can guzzle their way through the Lord's Supper. By the time the slaves and freemen arrive, the bread and wine are gone, and the patricians are belching and bragging about their rights and their table. And these sort of rugged wilderness moments broke trust, made one question the whole reality of this Jesus and his church. Has anything really changed? The patricians act like they always did before. I always act like I did before. Has anything changed with the coming, the death, and resurrection of Jesus? Or is it all just the same? Is this even true? Very easy in that rugged mountain wilderness, beautiful but yet dangerous, of the Corinthian church, for faith to starve, to ebb away. And of course, that always sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because we too live in our own rugged mountain wildernesses, wildernesses of church and soul. We too have beautiful vistas in our lives, those moments of true life and true grace, those angling canyons with the sharp cliffs, the dense pine forests, and the trickling brooks. The first time we hold our daughter, the scrunched face, the little cries. The first time we recognize that there is one who made all things, who loves us, as Mother reads that Bible story about Jonah. Or maybe the postcard in the mail with "I'm sorry" scrawled on the back of it. Moments of true love and life and fullness of being. Scenic moments. And yet at the same time, our lives, both together and within ourselves, can also be moments sparse with love and filled with stormy emotions. Dangerous places where faith can starve. We only have to look at the red eyes of the victims of priestly abuse. We only have to listen to the bewildered tones of the family torn apart by fortune and gossip. We only have to look deep within the tangled forests of our own heart, our own sins, our own despair, before we start asking the question, is any of this really true? Did Jesus' death and resurrection really mean anything? Did it accomplish anything? Not much seems to have changed. I haven't seemed to have changed much. Whether church or soul, these rugged mountain landscapes can be detrimental to our faith. And our faith can starve in the beautiful, if terrible, reality of who we are. But Jesus does not leave us alone. Jesus gives us a gift. As we are working through the fence line of life with Jesus, we come upon a park, and Jesus points over to these clusters of plants standing up 2 feet tall, furry with spindly, spiny leaves, purple blossoms on the top. "Come here, come here." And he's rummaging in his pocket, and he's pulling out that pocket knife with the broken tip. Little bit of Jewish tradition for you, Jewish wisdom. "You can eat this." Bending it over and then sawing off at the base, he begins to skin off this elk thistle. This bit of survival food in the wilderness of church and soul. And when it is all finished, he hands it to us. If you ever get stuck out here, something to keep your faith alive, something to feed you when your faith begins to wither. Jesus gives us food to survive in the wilderness. He gives us elk thistle. He gives us his body and blood. St. Paul relates in our epistle reading how the Lord had handed down to him through the generations, through the previous apostles and the others around him, coming from Jesus himself, this tradition. Paul writes, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise after supper, says Paul, when they had supped together, he said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul continues alluding and adding on to what's going on. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus given Paul a little bit of Jewish wisdom, a place to find food in the wilderness. Jesus giving us a little bit of Jewish wisdom, a place to find food in the wilderness, a place to have our faith nourished. Because again, whether church or soul, it is easy for our faith to starve and die. Beautiful moments in our lives, beautiful moments in our churches, and yet also can be places of sparse love and stormy emotions. And so we need faith and we need help in making sure our faith doesn't starve. And so Jesus gives us a survival food. Our own articles of religion state that God uses this meal as a means to work within us invisibly, not only to quicken us, but to strengthen and to confirm our faith in God. Just as our faith is beginning to topple, just as we are shaking our heads and saying, I don't know if any of this is true. I don't know if Jesus' death and resurrection meant anything or really did anything. Jesus shows us a clump of thistles. Thistles that if you grab, you begin to bleed. And he hands us that bloody food. He hands us his flesh and blood so that we might believe again. So that as we find his body and blood in our bellies, we begin to trust again. The beauty and the terrible parts of our lives beginning to come together in healing and in love. Jesus is holding out this meal to us this evening. This is for you. This is for you, for your faith. Eat this and find your moments of regret, your moments of pain, and your moments of sin dwindling before my new creation, life everlasting. Hear the good news this evening. Jesus gives us a wilderness meal, something to survive and to bolster our faith, even in the wildernesses of church and soul. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.